Well, sometimes we feel so, we spread so thin that, and we're so busy doing so many things that it's a little hard to think we can win in life. And sometimes we just look crazy busy. But I'm so glad that God gave us the Holy Spirit. Because yes. When we're too busy, when there's things that we cannot do, He knows how to do it. Right. And He's called the Helper, and He's called the Comforter. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need some comfort. Amen. And sometimes we do need help, maybe more often than we realize. We need some help. Last week, I spoke about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not because we pleased Him or because we were so good and did everything right. No, God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit because it pleased Him to give us that gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, and then the Holy Spirit came, and He came with gifts Himself. So we are a rich people. We're a rich people. We're well equipped. We're well equipped. Every one of us. To do what God wants us to do. Now, I don't believe for 1 minute that God gives you a gift just for a little while and then He takes it back. God's not like man. So when God gives you a gift, He wants you to have the gift. And He wants you to use that gift. He's not going to give you a gift that you can't use. You say, well, what shall I do with this? No. He gives you a gift that you could use and should use. And when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's some things go around that teachings that say, well, it was only for the time of the apostles because they had to get the church off the ground. Well, I think the church of today has more challenges than the church of that time. There's a lot more evil in the world that we need to combat, a lot more resistance. So we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit more than ever before. We cannot rely on the mind of man to look for solutions to the mess that we're in the world. It's the mind of man that created the mess. And so we need the Holy Spirit. Now I know this whole doctrine built on this thing that Job once said, in a time of hopelessness and despondency. And he said, God gives and God takes away. And now built on that verse, a whole doctrine. But they don't read the end of the book where Job says, I spoke what I didn't know. Because when you know that, when you're down there and you feel beat up and you're negative and everything is against you, what comes out of your mouth is not usually wisdom. And so, well, that's what Job did, but he corrected that later on. He said, you know, when I spoke all through this time of trouble, I didn't know what I was talking about. And so when God gives, there's a reason why He gives. And it's equipment. I don't think God will say, well, you know, it's up to you. You can have the Holy Spirit for a little while, and then it's up to you. No. Figure it out. I don't think so. I think God's preparing for Himself a glorious church. Yes. And for the church to be glorious, we need all the Holy Spirit we can get. Amen. And we can never have enough, and don't think of too much. We need every bit of Him and what He can help us with. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We start reading at verse 1. Okay, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, you'll see the word gifts there in cursive, which means the translators put it there. What it really reads, how it reads is like this. Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual things. The gifts are part of that. Mm-hmm. But you know, the spiritual is big. Mm-hmm. Very big. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know. You cannot afford to be ignorant about spiritual things. You need to understand that. And you need to know. You need to know what it's all about. You need to know what's available. And you need to know where you fit into it. And you need to know how to be used of God. Yeah. And you need to know when you see things happen, you need to know what it is. Yeah. We cannot be ignorant about spiritual things. Let's read on. Verse 2. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Now we know that, of course, these people were pagans, they were Gentiles, they didn't know God. They were serving idols and stuff like that, which we learn from Ephesians chapter 2, that there are evil powers behind those things that led people to believe in idols or worship idols and do crazy things because they were led by these idols. And not so much the idols which they made by hand, but the spirits behind them. There are some things in the spiritual world that influence people today. They influence you. They influence me. And they're all working to stop or slow down the work of God. They're busy. They're busy. And we need to know the difference. There's a big word that we need to understand. The Bible talks about is the word discernment. We need to know what spirit's working here. We need to know. We need to understand what is going on. Sometimes people do things on the earth that you see and you wonder, what are they busy with? I look at the world that we live in today and world leaders and wonder where simple common sense has gone. I know where it's gone. They're under influence of demon powers and influences from the wrong side of the fence. And they do things that make no sense, that bring destruction in this world that we live in. And it's all part of the strategy to make the life of the church difficult. But our God is stronger.
Amen.
Your Bible says, he that lives in you is greater than he that's in the world. And don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. You always need to remind yourself that he that's in me is greater than he's in the world, and therefore we win. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Now, you'll know that when demons begin to operate, and especially in Gentile pagan situations like this, some crazy things can happen. And he's talking to people that just came out of that. And obviously some things were said and done by people. And he said, no, well, when people say stuff like that, that is not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God that speaks like that. I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So when somebody says, well, Jesus is Lord, you know what spirit influenced him to say that. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that can bring understanding or revelation to you that Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. He's Lord. Now, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of gifts. All kinds of gifts. Or there are all kinds of gifts that came by this one spirit. So you cannot say, well, he has a spirit of healing, or he has a spirit of this, or a spirit of that. It's the same spirit that is manifesting in this way or that way, or that. It's a diverse array of gifts that the Holy Spirit has, the way he operates through people. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not natural. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are spiritual. They're not natural. When the Holy Spirit manifests a gift, it's always above the natural. It's always something that doesn't come from the understanding of man. It is something that comes from the heart of God for a specific situation or a specific person. And it's a gift, which means the end of it's always good. And it comes from the same Spirit, verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are differences of ministries, different ministries. Now, we'll talk about that maybe in the weeks to come. But for now, everybody has a ministry. Ministry simply means serve, you serve. Everybody serves. Everybody has something to serve with. And the Holy Spirit will help you with that. Amen. And sometimes it doesn't look very spiritual, but it is, because it's motivated by the Holy Spirit. We're sitting here in a room that is vacuum cleaned and cleaned because somebody served. Somebody served. The Holy Spirit pressed it on the heart of somebody. Is that spiritual? It sure is. Mm-hmm. It sure is, because it originated by the Holy Spirit. Why will people just come and work hard here on a Saturday morning or maybe one evening in the week for nothing? Why would somebody do that? There's only one reason, because the Holy Spirit placed it in their heart to do it. For the benefit of all, as we'll see later on. It's ministry serving. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not all preachers of the word, but we're all ministers of the word. Mm-hmm. We're all servants of the word. Every single one of us has something to contribute. Mm-hmm. As the Holy Spirit presses it on your heart to do. And you do it for him. Amen?
Amen.
I hope so. Because if you do it for me or somebody else, you might be disappointed. But if you do it for him, it's always joyful. So grateful I could do that. It's nice to do that. It brings fulfillment, because I'm doing, there's a fulfillment that comes when we respond with obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To do whatever he wants us to do. So, diversities of gifts by the same Spirit and differences of ministry. So we have gifts and we have ministries. They're different things, but they come from the same God. Now we'll get to that in just a minute. Now, verse 6. And there are diversities of activities. Diversities of activities. Different things that people do. Just different things that people do. And it says, But it is the same God who works all in all. So he might just prompt you to do something, some kind of an activity that you might not have wanted to do on your own. It's not natural for you to do that, but there's a prompting, there's a conviction on the inside, and you start doing something that you didn't really plan to do. You'll be amazed what activities he'll get you into. Coming to think of it now. Boy, I've been involved in things, and I say to myself, now, why am I here? Why in the world am I doing this? Why do I put myself through this? It's an activity that the Holy Spirit inspired you to do. It's fun to serve God. You know, and he'll bring you into situations where you look at yourself and say, you know, that's not really me. Well, it isn't you. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. Praise God. It's an adventure to walk with Him.
Amen.
It's an adventure to be used by God. Amen. And sometimes He bypasses our mind. Otherwise, we won't do a thing in the world. Because the mind will always say, well, what's that now? What do I get out of this? What's in that? What's in it for me? And stuff like that. But when the Holy Spirit gets involved, you'll do something that you never planned or think to do. Because it's an activity that comes from the Holy Spirit working in you. Now, it says here, you'll see the gifts by the same Spirit, ministries, the same Lord, activities, but the same God. Well, here you see the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord and the Holy Spirit. And yet, it's not three persons, because God is not three, He's one. Expressed in three persons, but He's one. And He does all of it, all of this working through us. Do you know that God cannot do a thing without us? If all of us are unwilling, nothing will happen. The only instruments that God has is people. Are people. That's the only instruments that God has. He has no voice but yours. He has no feet but yours. He has no hands but yours. And without you, He can't do it. He cannot do it. He needs you. Do you ever understand? Sunday I said something like this years ago, and somebody got angry and ran out of the church because I said God needs people. Well, God needs people. And He needs you. Because inside of you is a gift, there's a ministry, and there's an activity that God deems necessary and is waiting on you.
Amen.
Let's be active. You know, I always think, we all say God doesn't force anybody to do anything. And I think about the Apostle Paul. He got struck down on the road to Damascus. And I think, well, I think God kind of forced him there. But Paul was smart enough to say, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, what do you want me to do? He could have said, leave me alone. Yeah. He could have said that. But he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, he was already on the spot. And isn't that a good thing to say? Lord, what do you want me to do? Yes, enemy number one of the church. Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, how much more should we who are in the church say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because inside of you is the Holy Spirit, and He came with gifts, He came with ministries, and He came with activities. And He wants you to be involved. He wants you to be involved. So we cannot look around and say, well, this one does nothing. What about that one? No, so what about you? What are you contributing to the body? And don't think that some things are more spiritual than others. Don't think that cleaning the church is less spiritual than preaching the word. Everything is needed. The one can hardly go without the other. How many people do you think will sit here when we never cleaned this building in a year? Nobody will come. It's necessary. Every little thing is not so little because everything is necessary. And everybody can play a part and should play a part. You're in the body. You're in the body. And if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, then He wants to use you either for a gift, either for a ministry to serve, or for an activity, something that you just have to do. And don't question it. You know, I think the Apostle Paul, when he got struck down and he realized that Jesus was standing there, didn't philosophize about the whole thing, because then you'll find a way to get out of it. But when He prompts you, just get going. Just do it right away. Just do. Don't wait. What do you wait for? Do you think God's going to tell you now that He wants you to do in a week? No, He'll tell you that in a week. But if the moment He talks to you, or he prompts you to do something, that's the moment to take action. Mm-hmm. That's the moment. Don't go thinking about it. If you think about it, you'll find a way out of it. Mm-hmm. Common sense might be your enemy. Mm-hmm. Because God doesn't work with common sense. He works with the Holy Spirit sense. Mm-hmm. And that's very different from our sense. Verse 7. Well, let's go to verse 6 just a little bit. It says, but the last phrase, but it is the same God who works all in all. He works all in all. Have you ever looked at yourself and said, I'm part of the all? I'm included in the all. I don't see exclusions here. I don't see any exclusions. That means you got something that God is looking for you to do. There's something inside of you. Now, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, or the benefit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit, what is that? That is that moment when the Holy Spirit does something. Through somebody, it's manifested. That prompting comes, that conviction comes, and when you act on it, it's manifested. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Do you know that the reason why we don't see all these gifts and ministries and activities is because the manifestation is oppressed. People oppress that manifestation. They say, I cannot do this. I don't think it's for me to do this. I don't think I can. I don't think I can. Well, in some sense, you're right. But he can. And you will be surprised. You will be surprised when you obey him, when you respond in obedience, what you'll be capable of. You'll be surprised. Because you'll suddenly, you'll hear things come out of your mouth that you say, well, where did that come from? Well, it came from him. It came from him. He enables you. He equips you. All you really need to do is obey. But he has all the wisdom. He has all the knowledge, he has all the power to do whatever it takes. And it's waiting. It's waiting. How many of you know that if all of us say, I'm going to take this to heart, that this year will be different from any other year you've ever had. Amen. If every one of us say, well, let's drop our nonsense. Let's drop the nonsense. Let's drop all our conditions and things that we, and reasons and excuses. Let's just drop all of that and be quick to obey. You'll be surprised. Not only at what God can do in the church, but what he'll do through you. You'll be surprised. You will be surprised. And it is for the profit of all, the benefit of all. So when that happens, all benefit by that. All benefit by that. Everyone in the body, or everyone that that gift is manifesting to, or the activity, or the ministry, everyone who is on the receiving end of that will benefit, will profit by it. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. The word of wisdom. I think the church needs more of that gift than we ever did in the history of the church today. Mm-hmm. You know what we're up against. Mm-hmm. The devil knows his time is short. Mm-hmm. And he is in panicking mode. And crazy things are happening in the world that we live in. You know that. Mm-hmm. And do we need a word of wisdom? Mm-hmm. And people look at things and they say, what is going on? How do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? What is all of this? And inside of you, God has the answer. Do you know God has the answer to every question?
Yes.
He has the answer to every question. And he's willing to give it for the benefit. And he needs somebody to speak it. He needs somebody. Somebody say, well, this is my gift and that. Well, you have no gifts. Somebody say, well, I have the gift of prophecy or tongues. Well, it's not your gift. It's the Holy Spirit's gift. Mm. And he gives it to everyone as he wills for when it's necessary. Mm. So any gift, any ministry, and any activity can come through any one of us.
Yes.
And we should be available for him to do what he wants to do. Mm. Word of wisdom. You get to a place where people ask you things, or you're in a situation and you don't know how to get out of it, and God drops a word of wisdom. And you say, my goodness, I never thought of that. Well, he did. He did. And all he needs is somebody who will speak it. A word of wisdom. Word of wisdom often has to do with present situations or future situations, that we need to make a decision today that may have to an implication in the future. If I made a wrong decision today, then I may have to deal with consequences in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he'll give me the wisdom. Why are you saying that? Why are you doing that? Well, I don't know. I just sense I need to do this. And 6 months down the road, you say, that's why. That's why that day, now I understand. We often see that. And sometimes when we don't respond, we say, you know, when back then, I should have listened. He spoke to me, but it didn't make sense to me. So I didn't do it. I didn't say it. He wanted to do an activity that would have consequences or a result in the future, but I couldn't see it, so I didn't do it, and now I pay the price for that. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. Boy, do we need it. You talk with people, you sit down with people, you fellowship with people, you drink coffee with people, and suddenly a question comes. And you think, well, you know, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a this and I'm not that. Why are they asking me that question? Well, you have the Holy Spirit. That's why they're asking the question. God put the question in them to ask you because he wants the Holy Spirit in you to give the answer. Word of wisdom. And it's not the wisdom of man, which is limited and corrupt. It's the wisdom of God that is pure and holy and always right. It's God's wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. The same Spirit, the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is when God reveals knowledge to you that you didn't have naturally. Nobody told you, you didn't read about it, you didn't hear about it, you didn't see it on TV. Just suddenly something comes up in you about a situation or a person, and it's a word of knowledge, which means it has to be spoken. If it's not a word, it is spoken, then it is a word oppressed. And then there won't be profit or benefit for anybody. So when a word of knowledge comes to you, you think, oh boy, I see something here. And I wonder if I should say that. Well, all the gifts and all the ministries and all the activities operate by faith. You gotta believe it. You gotta believe it. And if you don't, then somebody's gonna lose some benefit that was due to them. So that's why you have to have faith. Speak it out. Speak it. Word of knowledge. I sometimes, quite often actually, see that when people come and say, well, you know, this morning you just touched on something that I've been struggling all week. I hear that at least once a month. I didn't know that. But the Holy Spirit did. He knows. I had people come to me through the years and say, did you talk to my sister? Well, I didn't know you have a sister. Well, you mentioned something here that nobody knew except my sister. Well, the Holy Spirit knew too. And I didn't know that, but he doesn't. I don't have to know that. And still wouldn't believe me that I didn't talk to her sister. Still would not believe me. She called you. I know she called you. And I knew nothing. I didn't even know that what I was saying was speaking to somebody. I didn't know that. But the Holy Spirit does. And he's there for the benefit. He's there to help. Remember, he's a helper and a comforter. How can God, how can people think that in this day where the world is heading where it's heading, that God will withdraw the comforter and the helper and take away these wonderful gifts that bring benefit and profit to all? The gifts are alive and well because the Holy Spirit is alive and well and is active, prompting people, in convicting them, getting them to do something because in his heart there's an urgency to help people. And especially as we see time's running out. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Faith, that means faith that is bigger than the faith that you have. Sometimes we are faced with a situation that requires more faith than you have. And you look at that and you say, I just don't have the faith for this. The Holy Spirit has. It's a gift of faith. He'll come and add faith to yours. So you'll be bold and quick to respond. And take on that thing that you think it's too much. Because the Holy Spirit just adds, he gifts you with faith. He adds some of his faith that knows no limits. And adds it to yours so that you can take on and do what you have to do. To release that gift. To do that serving. Or to do that activity. So do what you have to do. Am I grateful for that gift? There were times when I knew I got to do something, but I don't know. We talk and we say we don't want to do that. That's not my problem. I'm not going to make that my problem. Or it's not my fight. I don't want to fight that fight. Well, you get drawn into it. You gotta face that whether you like it or not. But he'll give you the faith to take it on and do it. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And that's the only one that comes in the plural. That's the only gift that comes in the plural. Gifts of healings. Many gifts. All kinds of healings, all kinds of gifts for all kinds of situations and sicknesses and diseases and ailments and things that people have. Gifts of healings. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. Because in his heart is the willingness to heal. As a matter of fact, I think healing is one of the strongest gifts we have. Because of the heart of God. Because in the Old Testament, God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. Jesus comes, and the Bible says, by his stripes, you were healed. He purchased our healing. And now the Holy Spirit comes, and you have gifts of healings. And you see the whole Trinity behind this one. Healing is strong in the heart of God. Healing is strong. And we can be very bold when we face sickness to say, my God is against this sickness. Jehovah Rapha, and the one who purchased this healing for me, and the Holy Spirit inside of me has the gift of healing. It's strong. It's strong. And don't listen to the world and its opinions. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that God can do it. They don't understand it. You can't listen to them. They have no faith. And they don't have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's not working through them. He's working through you. Verse 10, to another working of miracles. Things that go against nature. Things that are not possible. Miracles. What is not possible naturally, God can do. God can do. Jesus walking on the water, that's a miracle. Peter walking on the water, that's a miracle. Restoring health sometimes takes a healing and a miracle. When limbs are missing and things are missing, and God can restore it. Miracles do happen. To another prophecy. Now, prophecy is not fortune telling. Now, we can talk a whole morning about prophecy, but prophecy is not fortune telling. It's more forth telling. It's speaking from the heart and mind of God. Just reveal. I find that Apostle Paul says that prophecy does a few things. Who knows? Just over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Talks about that.
Edification,
which means when it comes to you, it will edify you. Exhortation. Comfort. Prophecy doesn't judge. Prophecy does not condemn. Prophecy exhorts and it comforts and it edifies. It builds. It builds. Prophecy. Now, there's a lot of abuse in all of these gifts. Because, listen, for every gift that God gave, every gift, not just these nine, every other gift, there's always a perverted form of it that the devil uses to attack people with, to confuse people with, and to deceive people with. So we need to know where it's coming from. And there's a lot of abuse, but we're not looking at abuse and say, well, no, I don't want to have anything to do with this because that person did that. No, let the Holy Spirit work through you and let him do what he wants to do. To another, discerning of spirits, knowing what spirit's operating. What spirit's causing this person to do this or that or say this or that or the other thing? Discerning of spirits. It often has to do with casting out of demons. And I have personal experience of that many times. Where you know what's inside that person. You know that. Because spiritually you can see it. I can see. You can see that. The moment you are drawn into that activity, you'll know what you need to know. Mm-hmm. You'll know that. I've seen that. I've seen that. And you will see that. And don't back away when God wants to use you. Don't say, well, I'll call the pastor. No, the Holy Spirit called you. Amen. I'm willing to go and have an adventure. I'm willing to go. But he wants to use you. That's why he got you into it. Don't call the pastor. Holy Spirit called you. To another, different kinds of tongues. We spoke about that last week. Tongues. But this is more tongues, not for personal edification and prayer language, but this is tongues as a gift to people in different ways. Where there's a word in tongues, it comes in tongues, but then it must come with the interpretation. which is the next one, the interpretation of tongues. When it's not translated, it's interpreted. Because sometimes somebody speaks in tongues for quite a bit, and then interpretation is short or otherwise. It's because it's not a translation, it's an interpretation. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Distributing to each one individually as He wills. So when the Holy Spirit prompts you, it's because His will is for you to be used. It's an honor. It's an honor. It's not something to refuse. It's something to take on and say, thank you. I'll take that assignment. Do what the Apostle Paul said. What do you want me to do? Speak. Speak. Do this. Do that. Lay hands on that person. Lay hands on that. Call that person. Just call. What will I say? Don't worry about that. Just call. Just call. Invite this person for a coffee. Just sit down and have a chat with this person. And in the conversation, things come up. You're in ministry now. You're drinking coffee, but you're in ministry. For the profit of the other person. You're in ministry. You're going to do an activity. The activity is I'm drinking coffee with you. And at the end of it, it'll be to your benefit. God's going to do something. It will bless you, help you, give you some answers, give you some help, whatever. Comfort you, encourage you. There's so many things that happen when people are willing to be used of God. Do I have to sense the anointing? No. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. It doesn't. Don't look for that. Don't look for that. Just be obedient. Sometimes you sense, boy, I just sense an anointing here. It's wonderful. You know, it's electricity just vibrating in you. It's an amazing experience. But you don't need that. All you need is to be obedient. Because He does the work whether you feel or don't feel. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with obedience. Everything to do with obedience. I believe God wants to activate His church. I believe God wants to call His church into service. I believe God wants to release gifts through people. The one that gets the gift is not the one that's used, it's the one that receives in the end. So you lay hands on somebody and somebody gets healed, he's the one that got the gift. You're just the delivery person. You just deliver it. That's all you do. That's all you do. You just deliver it. Just let him do that. Three gifts do something. Three gifts say something. Three gifts reveal something. And the Spirit that does all of that is right inside of you. He's right inside of you, and He wants to use you. God is inviting us into a life of adventure. That's exciting. And it was never God's idea to bring you into the bondage of dead religion. That's man's doing. If you think the church is dead, wake up and be used. He's waiting. He's waiting. He wants to use you. Let's all stand. He wants to use every one of you. You don't have to look around. He's looking at you. Don't look around when He looks at you. Just be obedient. Father, we bless You this morning. Lord, I thank You that You look down on us and You see that we need some gifts that we can use. And that You can use. Father, I pray this morning that in this meeting that You will find obedient and willing people that will not look at their disqualifications, but look at themselves as people that are in service of God. It's an honor to serve you, Lord. It's an honor above everything else to speak on your behalf, a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. It's an honor to do that. And we put our trust in you. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning, Lord, that they'll be willing. I pray just for a willingness, an eagerness to take that step of faith and respond to that prompting in our heart. Use your people. Use your church, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.